following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you ready to start living and creating your life from possibility, joy, and ease? What if every day could be a miraculous adventure? Welcome to Creating Beyond Reality Radio. Join us for a dynamic conversation of creation and possibility. Now, here is our host, creatress of magnitude, Heather Nichols.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome to Creating Beyond Reality Radio. I am so looking forward to this show. Slightly different topic than what we usually play with here on the show, and yet really so much about like the topic of nature and the earth is to me so a huge part of why I do what I do. And so I'm really grateful to have this hour to play with this topic. We're going to be talking today about what can nature teach you about being? And what if you could have more of a communion with the planet, more of a connection to the planet where you walk with it rather than on it? The planet is always changing and always creating, and we can really tap into so much of what is actually possible with creation when we have a greater communion with the earth. And today I have a brilliant and amazing couple and two beautiful people, Tanya and Tim Botham's here to talk about this. They have a bioenergetic farm in Queensland, Australia, and they've learned and developed a lot of awareness on the contribution that we can be and receive from the earth. So they spend a lot of time, obviously, on their farm, and in their spare time, give talks and seminars on farming and consciousness with the earth. So Tim and Tanya, I am very happy and delighted to have you guys here today. Welcome.
Thank you, Heather.
Thanks for the introduction.
You're welcome. So I'm curious how, I'd love to hear a little bit of your story of how you got into bioenergetic farming and what, how this whole thing has shown up and evolved in your world.
Well, Heather, my grandfather bought the farm that we're on off the government, in Australia when they were splitting land up. He bought it off the government when it was basically still untouched by white people. Mm. And it always intrigued me how he said for the first 3 years that he was able to grow stuff without the use of chemical fertilizer or without the use of any inputs. And as I grew up, that always stuck in my head and I always sort of wondered why. And that basically led us on the journey to start looking how nature basically regenerated the planet without the use of any sort of chemical inputs. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of really, really what got us started. And it just went from there. We just continually questioned everything we got told about how we had to use chemicals and pesticides, and it just really led from there. And it led us on this amazing journey of finding out how the earth actually really worked and how it's so simple if we just work with it instead of against it.
Yes, I love that. I love
that. And I think when we started Access, we were able to look at it a different way too. It was more the energies that we looked at.
Yeah, I think, Heather, when we did start Access, it took a lot of the judgment out of it. before Access, I used to sort of really get worked up about people that wouldn't treat the earth how I saw it should be treated, and it basically took the judgment out of it. And as you know, when you take the judgment out of it, you stop creating it. And we really realized with a few hard lessons that we were contributing to creating a lot of the destruction on the planet by all the judgments we had about the way other people were treating the planet.
Wow.
And that was a huge eye-opener to us as well.
That's amazing. That needs to go on a meme, on a quote graphic. When you take the judgment out of it, you stop create. Or when you, I don't even know what you said now. But when you go into judgment, you stop creating it.
When you take the judgment out of it, you stop help creating what's happening on the planet at the moment.
Yeah, and that is like. It's such a, there's so many different directions we can go. And it's something that is really always, I'm so curious about, because I have always been such a lover of nature and the earth. And I have spent a lot of time in the woods and in the mountains in the U.S. and really kind of grew up in the Sierra Nevada mountains in California. And as I started to get older and get more judgments, which I didn't realize at the time were judgments, but just started to have more ideas about the earth and what it required. There was this like misidentification and misapplication of all of that, that was really actually so much more about the judgment of what was wrong in regards to the earth and what was right in regards to the earth and what people were doing that was wrong and the people that were wrong and the people that were right. And this polarization of, you know, like based on the judgment of what I had decided was right, good, perfect, and correct about nature and how we treat the planet. And, I'm so grateful for Access Consciousness and how it has really allowed me to get out of judgment of so much of that. And there's so much more possibility for communion with the earth and for a conversation with the earth when we don't have that functioning in the background, which really actually leads to the topic of the show, which is what can nature teach you about being? So can you guys, I'd love to for you guys to speak to that. What can nature teach you about being when we're not in judgment of any kind?
I just wrote a blog actually for the Access Consciousness website in regard to, this is just a small example, I suppose, about like geese, how they fly in formation. And if a goose was flying somewhere, when it flies in formation with the other geese, it can get somewhere 70% quicker. Mm. Flies with its mates in formation. So it has they have no point of view. Like when the lead goose needs a break, it goes to the back of the V and a new goose takes its place. So it has no point of view about who the leader is. There's no fight. There's no conflict. That just is. They're like, well, we want to get to our destination, so let's just do it together. Mm-hmm. So I love that, because if we were to be like the geese, we would have no view about who the leader was. It's just about getting to our destination together and being together to do it, not fighting, no conflict. It's just what's going to create the greatest is what works. And that's just a small example for me.
That's beautiful. I love that. Yeah, because there's no mind, there's no judgments, there's no ego, you know, if you want to use that term, around who's leader, who's not leader, who's got the right ideas. You know, it's just this, there is such an energy of communion with that when I tap into that, like just the geese and the planet and, yeah.
And imagine how the world could be, Heather, if we all had a common goal and we all had that target of achieving that without any judgment or resistance to each other.
Like, yeah.
What could you get you there the fastest, or what could get us there the quickest, and what could we do it together, you know, to get it together?
And that's exactly how that's exactly how the planet works. Like, it's the ultimate example of benevolence. Like, it's always working for the greater good. And if the human race was actually to take notice of how the planet functions and how it's always looking out for the greater good, sure, there might be periods of upheaval on with natural events and that change. Yeah, change. But it's always the target of that greater good. And how often do you see that in the way that we function with the planets? It's not very often. And that's where the human race has to have that target of what is the greater good for the planet and us and everything else living on it.
Yeah.
And so, to me, that is sort of the true essence of what nature can teach you about being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gosh, there's, again, 8 million questions I want to ask you for about that. So when you said, Tanya, that just like if we all, well, both of you were just talking about this, like if we had a common, you know, target or like we were moving in the same direction in terms of what's possible for the planet and all of that. And I just wonder, like, is that, like, I so get the energy of that. And I get the, like, I have a big demand for that in my world, or just for the thrival of planet Earth in my world. And to me, that's really why I do everything that I do. And, you know, it'd be awesome if we can also live with it, you know? and yet when I look at, like, everybody working toward a common goal, I wonder, like, is that a hope and a dream? Is there a fantasy? Or, like, what do you guys know about that?
Well, Heather, we use this example quite a bit too. Like, if you look at an orchestra and you see the conductor out there and he's keeping everyone in sync and sort of keeping harmony between all the different instruments and that, and that's what I see we could be. If we were willing to realize that we've got to stop fighting against the Earth, we've got to work with it. Like, everything, every sort of conventional way of agriculture is always working against the Earth. The Earth has all these mechanisms out there to make agriculture so easy for us, and we do everything we can to work against it. And if we were only just to recognize those few simple things and took the money out of it, out of the equation, and just had that ultimate goal of working with nature and with all its cycles and trends, and it would create something totally different on this planet, like, disease would disappear.
Wow.
Because basically we would be working in harmony with nature and all the conventional methods of agriculture that contribute to creating that just wouldn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Yes, please.
I think if you look at it, like Tim's talking at in regard to farming, but it's for everything. Like, I mean, if you were building a house, what if you actually worked with the land or block of land or piece of land that you have? What if you actually worked with it to build your house and created something that actually was sustainable for that piece of land, or it looked, it worked in harmony with that piece of land? It created it as greater instead of just this house plonked in the middle of nowhere, but it's everything. It's everything in our life. If we always ask that question, you know, what energy can I be here for the planet or for the Earth that could create greater possibility? I mean, that's the question, really. It's about creating a greater possibility and a more sustainable planet for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what does it take to, I mean, you know, we're having conversations like this, and I know you guys are doing a telecall coming up with Gary Douglas on the topic of nature and being. And I just wonder, like, what does it take to change that? Like, what does it take for people to have the awareness and actually be willing to choose a really different reality. Because I look at, you know, people who just buy a plot of land and plunk a house down and don't have any curiosity in their world or question of, you know, what can I create with the earth here, you know? And I guess for me, sometimes I look at that and it seems like, wow, that's a really tall order. And yet I'm not willing to give up on it. And it's like, what else can we be doing? What other conversations can we be having? What other invitations can we be making to really, for people to really get actually like the necessity of that if we're gonna survive.
Well, it's funny you say that, Heather. I think it's more so about the topic of the conversation, the being thing. If you be you and do everything you can to help the earth create itself and lead by example, those people will eventually want to know what you're doing. Like if you live in a street and you've got this beautiful, amazing house and you've got all these beautiful trees and animals and whatever else around your house, it creates an energy. Mm-hmm. And people are drawn to that energy, like whether they're unaware or aware or no matter what their level of consciousness is, it creates an energy and eventually people get drawn to that and they want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
To me, that is the best way to change people, because we've done that in our place. Like people that we never would have thought even had the slightest interest in changing have seen what we're doing on our property and have started to copy off us without even asking any questions. So it's all about being you and creating your little parcel of land or setting the example, so it gives someone basically a choice to follow you or basically, yeah, just be as they are.
I think with like I've said this before, there's 7 billion people on the planet at this stage. Mm-hmm. And every one of us has a different fingerprint, every one of us has a different retina, but we also have a different energy that contributes to the planet.
Yeah.
So what if we looked at that energy as contributing and creating what the planet can be? So what would you like that to be? Yeah. Would you like the planet to be destroyed and all our resources used up and everything just about the money, or do you want the planet to be a sustainable living organism that creates with you? I mean, that's probably what we all have to look at. But it's the energy that we be. Like, I mean, everything, every plant, every animal always also has a different energy, and everything is always contributing to the planet. It's just that we have no awareness about that, and that energy is what creates what the planet as we are now.
Mm, wow, I love that. That's so cool, because that right there to me really, it's like, wow, everybody could, like there's just this sense of possibility of like everybody can make one different choice and the whole planet would change so quickly and so dynamically.
Exactly.
That's so cool. How does it get better than that? Now suddenly it doesn't seem quite so daunting.
Well, if you actually sit down and think about it, Heather, and think about how many different people are fighting against each other. Like it could be just in America, the Democrats and
Republicans.
And if you expand it out from there, like you've got vegetarians versus non-vegetarians.
Yeah.
Organic people against non-organic people, and it just goes on and on and on. But where do you see that in nature? You don't see it anywhere. It's all working together for a common target and a common
for the greater good.
And if we could just look at that and take that fight out of it, it would just make it would, like you just said, it would totally change the planet.
Yeah. Like on a dime. I love that. Yes. Cool. Well, we're at our first break, so we're going to pause for a moment and have lots more questions for you guys when we come back. So you are listening to Creating Beyond Reality Radio. This is Heather Nichols here with Tim and Tanya Botham's today, talking about What Can Nature Teach You About Being? And we will be back in a moment.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Hey guys. Psst, psst, over here. Get this. Gary Douglas, the man, the myth, the legend, has a new class. It's a 2-day class that he's offering his own very self, and it's called Out of the Box. This class is 2 days long. It's happening on February 4th and 5th in San Diego, California, America, Earth, and March 4th and 5th in Munich, Germany, same planet. What's going to happen in this class? Gary's going to give us all the tools we need to break out of the limitations of our tiny little boxed-in realities. You ever feel like you're trapped and stifled and stuck and you can't quite put your finger on what it is or why it's happening? That's what this class is there to do. Break all those limitations apart so you can fly right on out of that box, just like those little puffy white peanuts do whenever you order like your supplements on the internet, and then they come and then you got peanuts all over your floor. But this will be a lot more fun. Where do you find out about it? www.garymdouglas.com/out of the box.
Hi, this is Dr. Dane here. Have you felt different your whole life? A dreamer, a seeker, an outsider? Always wrong no matter how hard you try? What if there's a completely different way of functioning in this reality? What if you, truly being you, could change everything and the world? If you'd like to find out, go to beingyouclass.com. 12 years ago, I was on the verge of suicide, and I came into contact with some amazing tools that changed everything for me. Today, I live a life I couldn't even imagine possible at that time. I have the honor of traveling around the world facilitating thousands of people on how to change their lives with these very tools. I'd like to share some of them with you. Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for my free video series. My gift to you. What if the tools to change everything are available now? In February, you can join me for a 3.5-day intensive class in Hawaii. Are you ready to explore these tools and this energy live? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com. You know if this is for you. You always do.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a bar session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Build a better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed.
You are listening to Creating Beyond Reality with Heather Nichols. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to heather@heathernichols.com. That's heather@heathernichols.com. Now, back to Creating Beyond Reality.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Heather Nichols, and we're here with Tim and Tanya Bothams this week talking about nature and being. And I'm just really loving this conversation. We were talking at the break about a heat wave that's been going on in Australia and some awareness that Tim and Tanya had about that. And so can you guys talk about that? I'd love to expand on some of the things you guys were saying.
Yeah, Heather, it's amazing to me, like, the weather is changing in Australia so much so quickly, and people seem to have that huge resistance to asking a question about it. we're talking before about the earth and change and all that sort of thing. And to me, I think the earth is trying to say, hey guys, wake up, you need to change what you're doing on this planet, because the heat waves, it's just getting so unbearable. Like at our place, we're having trouble growing vegetables through the summer now because they just get so hot they explode. I get intrigued how people don't realize what's coming out their mouth, because to me it goes back to that thing we first initially spoke about, how we have so many judgments of things that it end up creating it. So if we're continually complaining about the heat waves or the cold weather or the storms or whatever, it turns into a creation. And instead of asking a question like, hey, Earth, what's going on with the weather? What are you trying to tell me? What can we do to change this? Or what contribution can we be to create something different? And I would just like people to get that every time you put something out there, you're actually asking for something and you're creating something. So when you're making reference to the weather, whether it be good, bad, or ugly, you're creating something.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
It brings me back to a story of what something happened when we first moved. Well, we've been on this property for a little while, and there was a farm down the road that was for sale, and the guy that ended up buying it, we know, and he, I wouldn't say he's the greatest contribution to creating a sustainable planet. His idea of farming is to chop down every tree on the property. And Tim kept going on and on about it. He was like, oh, I don't want him to buy it. He's gonna cut down every tree and it's a koala habitat and blah, blah, blah. He kept going on and on and on about it. And as soon as this guy bought it, that's what he did. He just started cutting down trees. So, and then one day, you know, we came past and there was like a koala on the road that obviously extremely stressed. It ended up dying because it just got so stressed with the chopping down of trees. So then Tim all of a sudden had an epiphany. He was like, oh, my gosh, every time I say something about it, I'm creating more of it. So he got to that point that he was like out of the judgment of it, interesting point of view, and he stopped chopping down trees. Like it was like instantaneous.
It was
almost like it was like a magic wand. It was like boom. But he stopped chopping down trees basically as soon as Tim had that awareness that he was creating more and more of it. That stopped.
And that's amazing.
It is. And I mean, this guy, he would burn too, like burn everything on his property, which is like, but now he's like slashing and he's, you know, it's like, it, like Tim said before, people, the energy has changed. So he follows the energy without actually realizing it. And he's creating something different on his property because of the judgment that Tim's now out of. Like it's, fantastic.
That is so cool. Talk about being you changing the world. Yeah. Wow. And that to me, it's like that is such an amazing story of what nature can teach you about being, which also to me is sort of synonymous in a way with what nature can teach you about creation. And this, you know, the show is so much about creation, and it's like, being in creation are very, like, the more you be you, the more you have that space of being and be that space of being, there's so much more that you can create and so much, like, you know, just so many different things that you can create, and different possibilities and all of that. And what an amazing story and example of nature just sort of putting that back, you know, just showing you, hey, you might want to look at your points of view, you know,
and it's
because they're showing up down the street.
And it's like that thing too, Heather, like nature is willing to sacrifice things like the koala to show me a different way.
Yeah.
It might be the same with the whales, how the whales are continually beaching themselves in places like New Zealand. Like we can't go into the wrongness of it. We've got to ask questions, and that's the whole point of view behind access to a degree, is to question everything. And I think when you get into that space, when you're dealing with the land, if you keep questioning, you'll always get shown the way.
Yeah. And I think the earth and nature is a huge contribution of energy to us as well. Like, I mean, how do you feel when you go out in nature? It does actually make you feel calmer. It makes you feel more relaxed and at peace. But, you know, that energy is always there. We don't actually have to be out in nature to be that energy. We can be that energy all the time. And there is such a huge source of energy there for us from the planet, which it's always gifting. It's just a matter of us allowing to receive it as well.
Yeah. I know. I always say you can always look up and see the sky, you know, even if you're in the middle of a really busy city, just look up, you know, there might be clouds, there might be rain, there might be blue sky, you know, there's always and not that you even have to look at nature in order to have the energy of it, but sometimes that can help, you know, and yeah, that's also just like what a cool energy of like, I just got this image of like the forest, like us sort of like almost being like the forest where we're just like walking around the world being the energy of the trees and the energy of the water and the, like, yeah. And just being more of that, like actually expanding the energies of that from and as and through our being and our bodies and how much more that possibility, that energy gets substantiated in the world.
Well, we can always be that. Like if we can always, like, I mean, we can always, like even everything that we have made, like, I mean, concrete, it's made out of natural substance. So it has energy that you can still tap into, like a chair, you know, clothes, like most of them are made out of natural substances that have come from the earth. So it's not like they haven't got an energy. If we're willing to receive from it, it's always going to be able to be changed. So, and it can always create something different for you if you're willing to receive that energy.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. I mean, everything, you know, everything has come from the earth because where else would it come from? You know, there's been some, you know, like a lot of substances have been drastically changed from their original state, but it's all, you know, elements of the planet. So.
Yeah. And that's one of the great things about how we see everything too, how they're like, we're not, even though our farm is organic, we're not really strict on that because there is times when you, if you're in dire straits, that you might have to use a chemical substance. And it's about that same thing again, having no judgment of it and doing what's required to get to your target. And sometimes if it comes to the health of an animal, you have to look at everything and like
be willing to ask the question.
Yeah, be willing to ask the question and use the modern technology that we got nowadays. It's just we can't have that huge resistance and saying, no, I'm only going to use organic stuff because that's a conclusion and a judgment.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's being open to everything and that's exactly how nature is.
Yeah. Well, and I really get the energy of that. Like, you know, if you use something, if the situation or the earth or whatever's going on is asking for a chemical to change something, if you don't have a judgment of that chemical, you don't have a point of view about it, how, like, I just really get how different that is, like what a different possibility that creates than having either the judgment of the chemical or the judgment of the earth that it needs to be controlled with chemicals. Like, taking judgment out of the equation just changes so much. I mean, it literally creates molecular change if we're willing to be that powerful.
And it's also the earth has different cycles of energies and different cycles that we actually can use that create a lesser effect. In regard to like spraying chemicals and things like that, I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Well, that's what we do on our farm, Heather. Like, we always are aware of the energies. Like, I'm not sure whether most people realise, but in the morning, the earth takes a breath out, and in the afternoon it takes a breath in. And what that means in sense is it basically just draws energy in from the universe in the afternoon, and then in the morning it basically pushes that energy out. And you can actually go and do your own little experiment and see this in action. If you, in the middle of summer, if you go out early in the morning, or not early, probably about 9 o'clock, and cut a branch off a tree, and you'll notice the sap flow, it really pours out. And then in the afternoon, if you do the same thing on the same tree, you notice that hardly any sap comes out. And it's because in the afternoon, all that energy is drawn down into the root system, and it's holding it in the ground. And then in the morning, all that energy is pushed up out into the leaves and the tips of the trees, going through its growth stage. Mm. So if you wanted to use chemicals, you would use them, like, I don't know why, but if for some reason you wanted to kill a weed, what you'd do is you'd spray it on the plant in the morning when all that sap and everything is out in the leaves and the tips. So it would take it up, and then in the afternoon it would take it down and kill the root system.
Wow.
And it's working with nature, and it's using those cycles. And the best way to explain it, how you can actually use it yourself, if you're picking a fruit crop or a lettuce or spinach or anything like that, you want to pick it in the morning, because all that energy is up in the lettuce and it's in the fruit, and it's so densely packed with nutrition. Whereas if you pick it in the afternoon,
it's all pulled down into the roots.
All that energy is down in the roots, and it makes such a difference to the vitality of the food.
So you're picking your root crops, so your beets, your potatoes, anything that, you know, turnips, parsnips, anything like that, you want to pick in the afternoon when the energy is into the root. So, I mean, that's just another example of, you know, working with nature and to create, again, the greater result for you.
Wow. That just made my body so happy. Thank you for that.
There's so many little cycles like that, Heather, that if we would actually tap into how nature works and use those cycles, it would just make us a lot healthier and would take so much pressure off the planet. Because just imagine, like, if you're eating, like, it's something like, I think, about a 50% difference between the morning and the afternoon with fruit. And just imagine the less amount of food we would have to grow if everyone was eating fruit that was picked in the morning, or lettuce leaves, or whatever it is, whatever leaf crops it is in the morning, how much less food we would have to grow if it was all densely packed with nutrition to picking it in the afternoon.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Yeah. That just makes me think of the white tomatoes that you buy in the grocery store in the US in like December, you know. It's like, I know, I'm like, I don't eat tomatoes in the winter, you know. And it's like there's something that my body knows about that, you know. Just, I mean, they don't taste that good. They don't have, like, there's no, it feels like there's no energy, you know.
You're not supposed to. And see, that's what people don't get. Like, there's things like watermelons, pineapples. They've all got the minerals and the nutrition in them for your body to handle the conditions in summer. And they trigger things in your body that activate different processes that help your body handle the summer conditions.
Yeah.
And same with tomatoes. Tomatoes are one of those crops that you eat in summer to handle the summer conditions. And we go and eat them in winter, and it plays havoc with our bodies.
It's back to that energy of, you know, eating local, like get what's in season, what's local. I mean, that's another great way of doing it. Like if you're only eating what's in season and what's grown locally, I mean, I know it's quite hard now to do that because we are such a global, a sort of economy and people are still, you know, growing food, you know, you can buy something from Spain or you can, we can buy over here, we buy, like, I mean, there's fruit from California over here in Australia. Yeah. So if you look at it that way, like what Tim was saying, like if we ate local and ate what was in season, our bodies would be more able to handle what's happening because the energy and I would say intelligence, but it's not really intelligence, but the energy and our consciousness that's in that plant knows what's happening in your area in that season. So it's going to contribute that energy to your body to help create more ease for you. Because that's what it wants.
So what we're saying, Heather, if you eat Californian oranges in Australia, you know what's going on in California.
Your body, you know, it's going, okay, but you're giving me information about what's happening somewhere else in the world, whereas I'm wanting to handle what's happening here. Like,
wow,
yeah.
Wow.
Like a great story of that is a lady, she had really bad allergies and someone had said to her, oh, you need to buy bee pollen and have some of that. So she tried to, she bought bee pollen just from like a store. It was like a bee pollen that was commercially made. And it didn't make a difference. And then someone said to her, no, you need to buy local bee pollen. So she found somewhere where she could buy bee pollen that was locally and her allergies actually stopped because it was a contribution to her, whereas she had bought bee pollen that was made from somewhere else, obviously, and it didn't create anything for her. But because she bought the local bee pollen, it totally created a change, which... that quicker change to happen. Her allergies stopped. It was amazing. Yeah,
that is amazing.
And it's sort of about Heather working with the earth. And to me, eating locally and eating with the seasons is walking with the earth. And it takes so much pressure off the earth if we do that, because like Tanya said, you're getting the food that's going to be more nutritious for your body. And in turn, that hopefully allows you to be more conscious. And once you become more conscious, you become more aware of what's going on with the planet and what it requires.
That's like a beautiful ecosystem right there.
Definitely.
I love that. Yeah.
I mean, everything is always constantly giving us information, including the food that we're eating.
Yeah.
Always contributing something to our body, and that information that local food is giving you is helping you with the conditions that's happening in your area, like and the energies and minerals that you require in that area. So,
and it's like you said, Heather, when you see that white tomato, you just have, your body has resistance to it.
Yeah,
and it's just your body being aware that it's not what it requires or desires at that time of year.
Yeah, no, that's the one food that and melon, where it's just like, for some reason, my body's just like, no, like if I get it at the farmer's market, yes, you know, but otherwise it doesn't even seem like the same food to me. I mean, it's not, you know, it's something so different. And I get now what that is, like, just, it's like that, like the information and the awareness and the energies of what's going on in your immediate environment. You know, they're not there. It's like, they're totally not present in the food. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it is. Like you said, it's an information. It's an information for you.
Yeah.
Like, it's energy and information. And once you become aware of those sorts of things, it's really hard for me now. I find it difficult to buy like fruits and vegetables from a grocery store. Like we get, you know, what we don't have here at home. It's like, you know, we go to the markets and we buy from people that grow locally, and you can just tell the difference between it. Like, it lasts longer. It tastes better.
That whole contribution thing, and that's what nature's all about.
Yeah.
Nature is always contributing to everything, and that's what our food should be to our body. That should be a massive contribution. not something that's going to go in there and hinder us and trigger the wrong processes in our body, or not trigger the wrong processes, but trigger the processes that don't suit the season that we're in.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I could just listen to you guys talk all day. We actually skipped our second break because I didn't want to stop. But I'm wondering, I would love to hear you guys talk more about the land, your land, and just, I get like that the energy of it has been so woven through this conversation of just truly the difference that you be in, like what you be with the land and how you be with the land and the invitation that that is, we talked about in the beginning, to other people. So can you share more about that?
Well, Heather, it's so simple. Like anyone can do it. It's basically about observation to us. And questions. Like, we can learn so much just by going out and sitting and watching the chooks, chickens to American people. And you sort of observe what they do, and it creates a question in your universe. And then we might go and see something, and then go and research it, and try and find out more information. And it'll give you an awareness about how something occurs in nature, or how something you could create on your property that could be easier, or how you could sustain your property with a greater degree of ease.
Yeah. We have this it's a weed, basically, on our property. It's called Lantana, and it's basically a pest. And I was at our local primary industries office one day, and I was reading about it, and they were like, and they were, had this information booklet about it, and it was like everybody around where we live, they all poison it, or they bulldoze it down and always trying to get rid of it. And we have a lot of it on our property, but in the information booklet, it said Lantana is a plant that actually makes the earth extremely fertile. So you have to actually chop it down so it doesn't spread everywhere. But the key thing for me was it makes your earth extremely fertile. So I was like, why?
And it creates habitat.
Yeah, it creates habitat for like a lot of the native animals. And
it said feral animals.
Feral animals. But, I mean, I was like, but it actually contributes a lot. So I was like, and that's what our point of view was, like, you know, we do chop it down, but we don't like just go out there and totally wipe it out in one area. Like, we'll just chop it down in small areas, and instead of like throwing it out or burning it, we let it decompose, because the minerals and energies that are in that plant actually create more fertility for the soil. But I mean, that was the funny thing. It actually creates more fertility for the soil, but they were all saying, chop it down, get rid of it, because it's too fertile. It makes the soil too fertile. And I mean, again, that's just a different point of view. And we're, you know, a lot of them call us around in the district, they call us Lantana farmers, but we actually see what it creates and see what it contributes to the earth. So we have no point of view about it. Like, we just know that, you know, yeah, we will get rid of it, but it's no point getting rid of it all in one go. Like, we'll just do it in small sections. So,
yeah.
And I think what it is, Heather, it's asking questions about it. Like, we're always aware. See, our property used to be all rainforest country, and Lantana basically was trying to emulate the rainforest. It was trying to cover the earth back up and create habitat to take over from where the rainforest was taken out. And it's with weeds and trees, you've always got to be in that question about what is that contributing to the planet. Like, we seem to have that mindset that we want to control nature, where nature basically always has that mechanism to correct the imbalance. Like, say there's an imbalance in your soil, nature will always have a way of correcting that imbalance. And how it does it, it has all these dormant seeds that sit in the ground, and say you're missing, like with lantana, missing phosphorus, what lantana does is it takes atmospheric phosphorus out of the air and puts it back in the soil. Wow. So Australian soils are really deficient in phosphorus, and that's one of the things that we saw this lantana was doing. But if we were to get rid of it all, we would be taking out that vital connection of what our land is trying to restore and how it's trying to correct that imbalance. So it's always about asking questions of what that tree, what its purpose is, what's it trying to tell us, what's it trying to do. And it's same with the weeds. Like, to me, there's no such thing as weeds anyway. They're all just plants and they're all got a purpose, and you've got to be sort of continually in that question of what that is and why it's there and what's the soil missing, or what's the atmosphere in your property missing. Because plants don't only contribute to the soil, they also contribute to the atmosphere. And that's what creates the ecosystem, which is probably basically what we try to create in our farm. We don't try to create a farm. We try to create an ecosystem where everything works in harmony with each other. And
amazing.
Yeah, and we try and copy off nature, like, and that's basically what the ecosystem is. If you can create your piece of land, even if it's only a small acre block or just even a small town block, you can still create an ecosystem on that block just by having different plants and different variety of grasses and different flowers.
Even on a balcony, you can do that.
And it's amazing if you go out there and sit there and go back to that first thing I said, observation, and observe what you create. And you'll see little frogs and you'll see little insects and you'll see all these little amazing creatures that will all of a sudden turn up because you've created habitat for them to survive in. And then in turn, that all becomes a contribution to your body. So that's what we try and create on the farm. We try and create this ecosystem where we've got bits of everything.
I love that. Wow. So beautiful. And it just, again, like that piece of creation, it's like, it's so how creation works. I mean, the earth is, you know, such an incredible thing to, like, just the earth and what nature can teach us about creation is incredible. And I just look at, like, this conversation, and I have so many conversations about creation and business, and it's like, it's the same thing, you know. It's like the quantum entanglement of the universe, and, you know, like everything contributing to everything else, and no judgment, and, you know, asking the questions, and I love this piece of this, like the energy of observation, with that, like the curiosity and the wonder and the questions really woven into it. It's just such an honoring space. With the earth, with us, with our bodies, with what we're creating, with what we're asking for. So beautiful.
I think, Heather, too, one of the biggest things we miss nowadays is business, and all those other things that go with business wouldn't exist if we didn't have the planet.
Yes.
And we're getting to a stage on this planet where if we don't really wake up and realize that we have to change something, we have to start caring for the planet more, business is not going to exist. Because we're not going to exist.
Yeah.
One of our targets is we would just really like people to realize that.
Yeah.
That all those things that you think are important in your life, like most people want relationship or they want money or they want to have a fantastic business, but if we don't start caring for the planet, none of that's really going to matter.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to have a planet to live on. And yep. To us, I think us in Australia, I think to a lot of people, this summer has really hit home to a lot of people that we really need to change something, because we just had temperatures 10 degrees hotter than what we normally get at that time of year. And it just had took such a huge toll.
Well, I think it was more like the temperatures were hot, but it's normally with summer we get a storm or rain, and it'll at night and it'll cool it down, but we didn't get one storm night. So it was sort of like this build-up of heat every day, and there was no relief to it, because normally rain will give us a bit of relief and it gives the earth a bit of relief as well, but it just didn't have that. Like, we didn't get the rain that we should have. And
I'm going to interrupt you guys. I could go on and on, and we're going to be ending in about 30 seconds. So I just want to let everybody know that there's more. These two brilliant beings are doing a telecall with Gary Douglas coming up at the beginning of April, called, is it Nature as the Source of Being?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nature as the Source of Being.
You can find it on accessconsciousness.com. Thank you guys so much. What a beautiful conversation. I am so immensely grateful and look forward to more.
Thanks, Heather.
Thank you so much for having us, Heather. It's been great.
Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for joining us today for Creating Beyond Reality. Make sure to join Heather Nichols again next Monday at noon Pacific and 9 p.m. Central European Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel for another adventure into the brilliance of you. Have an amazing week of possibility and creation.